We're going to take a look at a few of the verses. We're not going to look at all the verses. We're going to take a look at a few of those verses to kind of set the premise of what happens in this event. And then we're going to take a look at two dialogues that take place and the equation between these two dialogues. And we're going to take a look at what that means for us. That's the hope. So here we go. We read 40 to 45, but you kind of have to jump back to 39 just a little bit to kind of get an idea of what's going on with Jesus. So, and it simply said that he's traveling throughout Galilee. So now you know Jesus is traveling through Galilee, talking to folks and all that kind of stuff. Great theologians believe that this is probably already a year into his ministry. We're at the end of chapter 1, and it's a year into his ministry, they believe. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, make me clean." Well, when we talk about leprosy, we have to be really careful that we don't let the word leprosy just be one of those Old Testament kind of things, kind of barely mentioned in the New Testament, and we think, well, you know, leprosy was like this little skin irritation, you know, get a little, you get some of that cream, that anti-infective cream, antibiotic, whatever it is, and you rub it on that little, and the leprosy goes, no. Leprosy was horrid. It was just horrid. It was a progressive illness. So once you got it, once you found that little thing on your hand, on your face, you knew this would just consume you. It was progressive. It would never stop. An illness causing permanent damage. So once the damage was established, you would always be marked as a leper. Permanent damage to the skin, the nerves. Nerves, people with shingles, doesn't feel good. Limbs and eyes. Secondary infections, as if those weren't bad enough, result in tissue loss causing the fingers and toes to become shorter, deformed as the cartilage is absorbed into the body. So this is a horrid, horrid disease. Absolutely wicked. And once you had it, you knew it was going to consume you, and you knew it would be your demise, unless you were healed. You weren't going to be cured, but you might be healed. It was seen as a living death, because once you got it, you knew. Physically and spiritually, don't let me lose you. Think back, Gospel of John, Jesus and the guys taking a little stroll. And they come up to this man who was born blind. A man, not a child, a man born blind. I mean, that tells you that this guy's old. He's older. He's not a child. He's old. He's lived a while. And so the disciples say to Jesus, "Hey, listen, who sinned? Him or his parents that he was born blind?" And of course, you know, Jesus says, "You guys, come on. Nobody did that. That's, you're messed up." But the implication is, if you sinned, God whacked you. And God's going to whack you with an illness. So for these folks, when they had leprosy, their bodies were becoming mutilated and destroyed and overpowered. And the common thought would be, it's because of the sin in the person. So if this person wasn't so sinful, full of sin, the leprosy wouldn't be so bad. Now, we would say, "Oh my, they really believe that?" Yes. Thank goodness we don't. But that was the thought process. So leprosy consumed the entire body, as they would believe. Sin would consume the totality of the human spirit. The worse the leper, the worse the sin. The mutilated physical presence was the same as sin would mutilate the spirit. And they would just put these two together. They shared a relationship with each other. So see, for this guy, when he is filled with leprosy, whether he connects that to sin or not, we'll never know. Well, you might know if you get to ask him. But society, common knowledge, made that connection. That the reason this guy's got leprosy is because he's a horrid sinner. We don't know what he did. Lord help us, we don't mess up and do the same thing, because this guy's bad. He's really bad. So that kind of gives you an idea where this guy's at. Yes? He's not doing well. We end that little verse by saying, he says to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. One of the things that these folks knew was that they weren't going to be cured. They could only be healed. And they knew that the only presence they could gain healing from was not other leopards and not necessarily the priest, but only of God. Only God could heal them. So when he comes to Jesus and he says, if you are willing, you can heal me. He didn't say, if you are willing, you can pray to the Father and he will heal me. If you are willing, ask Yahweh and Yahweh will heal me. He said to Jesus, I know you can cleanse me. I know you can cleanse me. And he also knew the only way of healing came straight from God. So, this is it, the end of the first chapter, yes? The Gospel of Mark runs fast. It is very, very fast. When you go home and you're done watching TV and whatever is going to be on TV, go to the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, if you haven't already done it, and underline or just make little hash marks every time you read the word immediately. Immediately. This happened. This was going to happen. Immediately he said that. Immediately. On and on. Because the Gospel of Mark, the authors believed that Jesus was coming back immediately. So therefore, when they wrote these words, the message was the gospel of Jesus Christ, hear it and respond to it immediately. And so in their writings, they immediately begin to teach the powers of God in Jesus Christ. Yes? Make sense? Say yes. Sure. Okay. Yes. So they know this, and that's what he says. Clean, he asked for, obviously from leprosy. And whether he knows this, whether he was thinking this, who knows. But the cleansing from the leprosy would also be indicative of the cleansing of his sin. Because if Bubba has leprosy, and we know he's bad, we only get near him. We also know he sinned greatly to get that. Suddenly, God touches Bubba and poof, takes all the leprosy away. Then we can only make the very same assumption that God has also taken away what? The due penalty of his sin. He's been renewed. He's been refreshed. He has a new start. You could almost say he's been what? Born again. Because of that inclination to put sin and suffering together. The suffering is gone, the sin must also be gone. He heals him, and then he says to him, now listen, here's what I want you to do. Don't say anything. Just mosey on over to the priest. Show him. He's going to give you a list of things to do as sacrifices according to the laws of Moses. And you go do those, and you're going to be just fine. Then you're going back to the family, get your job back, do all that stuff. He says that to him because he doesn't want to put the leper at risk socially and religiously. He wants to make sure that the leper follows the rule of law in religion of his day. And to bypass that would now put the leper in danger. He doesn't want to put him in danger. Just go do what you know you're supposed to do. This is not hard. He wants the healing to be seen as a work of Yahweh and not Jesus, not of himself. The people would have expected Yahweh to heal the leper. They would have expected that. So, if that's the case, then let that be so, and you go to the priest, and you do whatever he says to do, and then you're good to go. You're good to go. He just doesn't want the spotlight on himself. Not yet. He wants to be able to continue to help and to do his ministry. He wants to be able to reach out to people and to help people. But he knows if this gets out, it ain't going to work. So, the message is pretty clear. Keep your mouth closed. Go to the priest and do whatever he says. The next verse says, instead, which implies, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to go home and show the wife and the kids that I'm okay, and I'm going to go get my job back at the factory. I'm going to get my car back and my boat back. I'm going to start playing some golf. I'm going to start having some good time. Woo-hoo! Because I'm out of the leper camp and I'm okay. I'm not going to mess around. You kidding me? If I go, the priest is going to tell me to do this and this, and it'll take months and months and months. Hooey on all that kind of nonsense. I'm clean. I'm good. I've been reborn. I am fresh. I'm going to enjoy my life because I've had so much of my life taken away from me. I'm going to go back and begin to relive what I've lost. So he just doesn't do it. And it's an act of obedience. For heaven's sakes, who wouldn't have? He's so excited. He's got his life back. That's why it's so important to do the best we can to understand what he was plagued with and a death sentence on his life. Now, you come over here, it's like, all that's gone. His life has been given back to him. Of course he's going to say something. Of course he's excited. Of course he can't contain himself, for heaven's sakes. But the more he talks, the more he talks, he begins to reveal that Jesus is the one who did this to him physically and spiritually. Physically and spiritually. So now the implication is when people begin to see Jesus, they say, this is the guy who can heal you physically and spiritually. And so the message begins to get out. It says Jesus had to go to the lonely places. He had to go to lonely places because he could do no work. With that understanding, now you got two conversations that take place. Here we go. The man says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I'm willing. Be clean. And so in a nutshell of it, you got the leper saying, simply saying, if you can do this, do it. Just do this. And Jesus says, you know what? I can do it, and I will do it. You want me to do what I'm able to do, I will do it in your life. And he said, wow, that's great. But then Jesus said to him, I got something I want you to do. I do not want you to tell anybody. I want you to go, show, and sacrifice. Don't tell, just go show. Implying that the leper is able and willing to simply go do. So get this. The leper says to Jesus, I want you to do what I know you can do. And Jesus said, I'll do it. However, I know what I want you to do, and I want you to do it, leper. You see, they're both saying the same things, yes? Both saying the same things. Got that? How'd that work out? Not so good. One of them got it, one of them didn't. Because the leper fails. Instead of keeping his mouth shut and just going what he's supposed to do, he goes home and tells everybody. He gets on his phone. He starts texting people. Takes a picture. Sends it off. Emails, texts, Twitters. He's going nuts. And why not? This guy's got his life back. Of course, why not? But his failure is disobedience. And we don't like that word. We don't like that word because we don't want to be thinking of ourselves as disobedient. We would like to think of ourselves more as maybe sometimes it's like missing the mark or a little off key maybe. You know, something not as blatant in our face as disobedience. His disobedience renders Jesus unable to do more. And he must leave. Okay so far? Disobedience changed the leper's focus from God to himself. It was no longer what God did in my life. It became what I am. I am clean. I am reborn. I am new. I am fresh. It took the focus off of God and what he did in my life, and now I've made the focus all that I am because of what God did. I don't focus on what God did. I've lost that, and now it's about what I am. And when that happens, according to the authors of Mark, it rendered the power of God in Christ to dissipate in this man's life further. And because of the ruckus he started, he had to go to a lonely place to just get out of Dodge. Just get out of there. The danger in our lives is if I take my focus off of what God has done, is doing, and will do in my life, and suddenly become all about what I am, the same thing can happen. God can simply begin to not be able to work in my life. Why? Because I'm not letting him. I'm not letting him work in my life. Because suddenly everything in my life is about what? Kip Younger. Yes. Yes. And when everything in my life is about Kip Younger, then it's consuming, and pretty soon, I got no room for God. I've just simply taken my focus off. Now, if you think, when you first accepted Christ, you were reborn. You were fresh. You got a new start. You got up from the prayer rail or whatever it was that you did this at, and you felt new, regenerated, re-energized. You were just a new creature in Christ, and you were happy, and you were pumped up, and you went and told everybody it was okay to do it then, now. But the danger in it is that after that initial excitement begins to wane away, now it's almost as if the danger is that we want what God can do and what I am at the same time. And that's not a vile, vicious, horrid sin. It's just a change of focus. So it's not like just some horrid thing I've done. Oh my gosh, I'm going to go straight to hell because of this. It's just a change of focus. But the change of focus is disobedience. Because when I take the focus off of God and put it on myself, now it's all about me and no longer about God. And that's the danger. Romans 12, 1. Paul says, oh, for heaven's sakes, you guys, right into the Church of Rome, in view of God's mercy, in view of his love for you and his willingness to give you new birth and heal your leprosy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, he didn't say offer your bodies as a living offering. He said sacrifice. What's the difference between offering and sacrifice? For this guy, the sacrifice would have been not to speak, go show himself to the priest, go through all the rituals of the sacrifices, allow the priest to declare him healed and cleansed, and return back to society. That would have been his sacrifice. That doesn't sound like much of a sacrifice, but it is a sacrifice because it was going against the leper's own desires. He didn't want to do that. He just wanted to go home and show everybody. Don't you see that it's not a heinous, vile, ugly sin? It's just losing the focus. And the same can happen to me. And it can, might happen to you. When I fulfill my focus on God and work hard, to keep it on Him, don't you see that that opens our hearts now to be flooded with His mercy and His compassion and His grace and His forgiveness and His healing and His wholeness? Everything that God alone, only God could heal the leper, God alone has for me, just what God alone can bring into my life, it opens the floodgates and lets it come in until I change focus. And when I change focus, the gates begin to close. It's all about me. The blessings are still there, but I do not recognize them. I fail to embrace them. I'm rushing around with my own little thing, and things begin to diminish and diminish. And that's not where we want to be. They wrote the Gospel of Mark with a sense of incredible urgency. The urgency simply said, you've got to read this, you have got to understand this, and you've got to understand it and believe it, because Jesus is coming back immediately. So get it. That was the message. Well, He hasn't shown up quite yet. Doesn't mean He won't. Not quite yet. But the message is the same. So in preparation to receive Holy Communion then, we pray the prayer of confession. And we don't necessarily like the prayer of confession, because the prayer of confession kind of indicates that we have changed the focus from God to ourselves. But we pray the prayer of confession from our hearts to acknowledge the fact that, okay, yeah, it could be possible, probably certain, that we have allowed the focus to change. And we acknowledge that. And so our prayer is, for heaven's sakes, before we come and get Holy Communion, help us change our focus back to You. Because the reality is, we will receive Him in Holy Communion. We need to be focused on what we receive. So, we will read it together. Merciful God, we confess we have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will, broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for the joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Free us. Free us means to take the burden of being focused on the self off of us. Free us from the burden of being focused on ourselves for joy-filled obedience to You through Christ. When He sat with the 12, He said to them, this bread is My body, broken for the forgiveness of your sin. Take, eat, and as often as you eat of this, do it in remembrance of Me. Father, we pray You allow this to become the body of Christ for us on this day, to renew us and to refresh us and to sharpen our focus. When the supper was over, He took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to His disciples and said to them, take this, all of you, and drink of it, for this is the cup of My blood, given for the forgiveness of your sin. Take, drink. As often as you drink of this, do it in remembrance of Me. Father, allow us to receive humbly, joyfully, body and blood this day, that it would renew us and refresh us. In the name of Christ, amen.